Hello and welcome back to the Find Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get close to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Today, we're talking about 20 things we've learned in our early 20s. And I think this is going to be such a good episode. I'm really glad you came up with this idea.
Yeah.
Because when I was driving here,
from me again.
Yeah. When I was driving here, I was like thinking over it, like what my things are. And I just think it's going to be really lovely because some of these things have been like floating around my head for a while, but like they'd be too random to bring up on the podcast because there's no context to them.
Yeah. And some of them are like just small point, like you couldn't really do a whole episode about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like a nice way to like touch on a lot of like things that are probably going to make everyone feel like in their feels.
Yeah.
Today.
Proper in the feels. And then everyone can go away as well and reflect on what they've learned.
Mm.
It's quite nice to have those like little halfway through our 20s now. So what have we actually learned in the first half?
Yeah. And we don't know what each other's things are because Abby, I sent her a picture of mine. She deleted it out of the WhatsApp chat.
Deleted so quick.
She did not want to see. She does not care about my 10 things that I've learned.
Because I just feel like we might have similar ones. But then, I just feel like it had to come like from the soul authentically first.
Yeah, true.
So I didn't want to see yours.
Yep. So we're like both going to hear each other's the first time as well today, as it is the first time you guys are listening as well.
Yeah. So we had a very, very busy weekend, working all weekend, but it was so marvelous at the amazing event that we spoke about on the podcast, Unlock the Healer Within with Estelle Bingham. And it was literally such a magical day. The energy in there was incredible. The talks, Kagi, Roxy, Lisa, like all of them proper brought their A game. Like I really felt emotional on some of the talks, even though we were in work mode as well, because we were working for Estelle on her social media, but we were in work mode, but like the energy and the connection was really, really beautiful. Actually, I feel like my main reflection from that event was like how much people just want connection.
Really?
Like that's it in life. Like, I feel like everyone is just looking for authentic connection, you know, like whether you're trying to find that on a night out or whether you go into an event or whether it's a relationship, like you're literally just looking for connection. And like you really felt that in the room, like everyone felt like family in that room together. So it was a really beautiful day. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway was to be courageous.
Oh yeah.
I feel like on Saturday when we were actually with Estelle like making videos for her, she was doing obviously inspiring videos, she was like talking about courage or whatever. And then obviously we bought our crystals to inspire courage. Is it tiger's eyes, I always called?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got it here right now next to me on the little, like, altar of where, like, our microphone sits so that you guys can feel courageous as well. But I feel like on the actual day of the talks, well, like, so in every speaker's talk, like, all of them was related to courage. Like, Lisa Donovan, who's, like, the founder of that, like, astrology app, was talking about courage in terms of, like, when you get those, like, dropping of ideas, you know, those little pings from the universe. We call them like whispers of the universe, something like that, like we spoke about before on the podcast, like to follow them, to have the courage to follow those like ideas.
So I was gonna say then it's from the ether, isn't it? I was gonna say from the urethra.
But isn't that like where you wee out or
something like that?
You've got urination on the very...
No, but they did say that it's like from the ether.
Ether, yeah. But we've spoke about before on the podcast, like in quite a few episodes actually, about like that they just come in, like you're on a walk and you just get it, and like they're so important.
And you get it for other people as well. I get them quite a lot for my friends.
Suggestions for them?
Yeah,
you
like
being
drop-ins.
A Chris Jenner momager.
Yeah, and you should always tell them. Yeah, even if it seems random, I think you should always, when you get drop-ins for other people, because you see things in other people, I think, that they may not see themselves.
Or they might not have the confidence to even kind of think, oh yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, like she was talking about that in terms of, you know, being courageous in that way. And then Roxy, what was she saying about courage? If I can't remember now. I was like so concentrated on like filming her.
Yeah. Well, she was talking a lot about like not caring what people think and having courage. And then obviously talking about her body dysmorphia stuff.
Yeah. And then And then Kagi did a really nice talk about like love and intimacy, and that one was like, I think, a lot about courage as well, because, and a lot of what the questions were people were asking was like how to kind of step into like the vulnerability of like being open, being seen, letting somebody like love you and stuff. And I loved how Kagi replied to it, because she was like, I don't have the answer because I struggle with it myself. Like, she obviously has loads of wisdom to give, and she was sharing so much amazing stuff, but even when people were asking her questions as well, she was like, I'm like, have the same problem as you. Like, she had a nice answer to give and stuff, but like, she's like so relatable like that. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, for me, my biggest takeaway of the day was, I don't know, just like courage. Loved it.
I think that's so nice though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the talks. I feel like they all really stepped in and was really vulnerable, which is what I really enjoyed. Like, they really...
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and we got to see some of the gals that listened to our pod.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. So yeah, fun times at the event.
So we don't have a clue what... We said that we don't have a clue. Like, no. I don't know if yours are deep or if they're light-hearted. I don't know.
To be honest, no, none of them are light-hearted.
All right, should yeah, I
put
say,
some light
no, mine
ones
aren't
in?
Light-hearted at all. Like, mine are pretty deep.
Yeah.
I was like, I hope Grace gone deep as
yeah,
well.
No, they are all deep. So I've just closed my eyes and, like, put my finger on one of the things. So I'm just going to go with that one. This is actually a quote from one of my favourite books, The Mountain Is You by Brianna Weiss, which is a book, it says on the front cover it's all about self-sabotage, but it's like, it's about like, it is about self-sabotage, but it's also about, I don't know, just like creating your life and so many other things. Like, it's just really good. But there's this quote in it that I just loved, and it's one of the things that I've also like learned in my 20s. Mm-hmm. When you are genuinely on your own path, the future won't be clear, because if it is, you're actually following someone else's blueprint. I just love that quote because it just sums up like that lesson, because there's like so many times when I've been... I'm crying. No, joking. I'm joking. In my early 20s where I've like, you know, decided to start new projects or like new career things, and then other people have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Or like, you know, people that just don't get on board with what you're doing and stuff like that and whatever. And you really do have to like go into that message of, well, of course it's unclear, because you're creating your own like destiny. Like, it's your thing of what you're meant to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do really believe that we all have like a soul's purpose and stuff. Like, we all have... a thing, like we've got our thing that we're meant to do. And you know, like you know what that is, because they're those drop-ins that we were talking about at the start, those like random ideas and stuff that you get, you know, you get them for a reason, because like, you know, you're meant to. If we want to get real woo-woo, like, as in, there's the whole thing about like soul contracts,
yeah,
as in like before you come into this body on earth, you sign a contract. Or basically you kind of like say, I want lessons in this, I want to learn this, I want to do this. I actually saw the other day on a clip, and I've not listened to the episode yet, but I'm definitely gonna listen to it. It was on Jay Shetty's podcast, but the clip was on TikTok, and it was so nice, and I can't remember what the woman was called. I'd never heard of her before, but I'm gonna listen to the episode. But she was basically saying that like that kind of idea, and that your soul like comes to the earth to like learn things, and basically like you are like a soul in whatever the universe, sky, and then whoever you resonate with, God, the universe, whatever, says to you, okay, do you want to go to earth as a human and experience love, pain, sadness, happiness, joy, excitement, anxiety? Like, do you want to basically experience these whole spectrum of things? And you're like, fuck yeah, let's go, you know, and you do it. And it's like, and as well, like obviously in the concept of soul contracts, it's like you kind of have those soul destinies and stuff as well, like things you're meant to do. But basically like you also like part of your destiny can be to learn like difficult things and stuff. Your soul asks to evolve and become wiser by going through this stuff. So like this girl on the podcast was basically saying that, you know, when she gets those like the painful emotions or like sadness and stuff like that, she's then like, yeah, but I like, she kind of like puts it into this huge bird's eye view of like life of like, yeah, but like I'm not here for a long time, and I've come down to like basically experience all of it. Like, I don't know, it's really nice. That's actually really not related to my point.
No, it,
well, it kind of is, but like my point is like, I think that we all have like a soul's purpose and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have the courage, hashtag courage, my new theme, to follow that, and that the path won't be clear, because if it was, you're following someone else's blueprint, and you can take that as spiritual or non-spiritual as you want as well, because like it could even be that like your parents press you to go down a certain, you know, career route because they did it, or they think that's the safest thing to do and that's what they want you to do because they think of you as an extension of them in terms of success and stuff like that, like, and they just project on you, whatever. There's so many there's so many reasons why someone will push you to do something that, you know, is not meant for you. And then even just like on a general scale of like society has a blueprint as well of like, do this, do that, I don't know, buy a house, get married by X age, like do this, be secure in some way or whatever, like I don't know, and that can not be what you want. So if you're like in your 20s, which I think is, you know, happens to a lot of us, and you're like, I feel really unclear, I feel lost, and like I just don't really know where I'm heading, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but like I'm just following what I'm like interested in, what I'm passionate about, and I'm just trying things, I don't really know how it's going to work out, and it's kind of different to what my friends are doing, and it's different to what, you know, my parents tell me I should do. Well, you know, it's unclear because you're literally creating an unused path. Like you're like creating a new path for yourself. And if it was clear, then you walk in someone else's life and someone else's blueprint. So
yeah, that's so true. I absolutely love that. So I think it's where you can relate in terms of like when you're starting new things, or like you're looking for people that have done it, and then. Not that there isn't anybody, but like I sometimes struggle with that where I'm like, because I try not to put myself in a box. I know we both always talk about that. And then you think, am I doing all these like random different things? Like who else has done this? Like, is there someone I can relate to? And there's actually not, because you're so unique and everyone's journey is so unique and you like different things and you'll gravitate towards different things. But then I always remind myself of that quote because I think you told me it, and I'm like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, if I was actually following what somebody else was doing, that wouldn't be my life. That wouldn't be my path.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that.
Yeah, so like lean into the unknown and like the lack of like clarity you might have of where you'll be in a year and 2 years, because I think as long as you're following like what your heart kind of gets excited about and, you know, loves, then you'll be fine. You'll enjoy your life and you'll do what you're meant to do.
Yeah, beautiful.
Hashtag be courageous. Hashtag courage. Maybe I should put some quote about courage on my Instagram bio, you know, really integrate it into my new branding. One of the biggest things that's helped me actually through my 20s so far to navigate everything that we've been talking about in this episode has been therapy. It's been a huge part of my journey, and I really wouldn't have come to some of the kind of like conclusions or healing or wisdom or anything like that I have at this age without it. It's really, really been a crucial part of my personal development journey and just happiness and like mental health in general. And that's why I'm so excited to introduce you to our podcast sponsor, who are BetterHelp. BetterHelp are a professional, secure online counseling service, and they are set up to work with clients all over the world. So wherever you are, as long as you've just got an internet connection and a phone or a computer, anything like that, you can access BetterHelp and start talking to a therapist in just 48 hours of signing up. It's really simple to sign up. You just fill out a questionnaire and let them know what you'd like to talk about, what you'd like to work on, even if you feel like confused about what that actually is, but you just don't feel right, just say that, that's enough, and they will match you up with someone who's perfectly aligned to help you with whatever it is that you are struggling with. And even if you get matched with someone and you don't really click with them, you can change as many times as you want for free, no additional charge, because they really want you to get the most out of the experience. And to do that, you do want to be with a therapist that you vibe with and you can open up and feel comfortable with. I have churned through therapists in my 20s. I've had like 4 or 5, and I think you see different ones for different things and different parts of your journey. So, you know, you want to get the one that's right so that you can really get the most out of the experience. And they are giving you guys 10% off your entire first month of online therapy. And to access this amazing discount, all you need to do is go to the link betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. And that is going to give you 10% off your entire first month of BetterHelp. It's billed in a subscription, so you just pay for 1 month at a time. It's way more affordable than traditional face-to-face counseling. There is financial aid available as well if you are in a difficult financial position, and obviously you're going to get your 10% discount on top of that. They really want to eliminate the barriers standing in the way to anybody getting therapy, so they want to make it as easy and as comfortable and relaxed as they possibly can. So just head to the link betterhelp.com/findyourfeet to start your therapy journey today.
Right, I'm going to go in with quite a heavy one to start with, because why not?
Let's go. Let's dive in.
So this is what I've actually wrote. So the first thing I've learned in my early 20s is the more connected you are to yourself, the more uncomfortable you'll feel around people that are disconnected from themselves. And this is something I realized recently. Mm. And not to say that like everyone needs to have this huge connection to themselves, because everyone is on their own path, and I accept that.
Yeah.
But I've really learned recently that my body sometimes doesn't feel safe around people that are super disconnected from themselves, because I'm on a path trying to connect to my inner self. So then it's like something doesn't match. Like there's like an unsafety in that.
Mm.
So yeah, recently it's been more a process of learning to accept people where they're at, but also learning like what feels good for me.
Mm.
And I absolutely loved actually what Kagi said in her talk at the event. She says something about how, I mean, I've heard this loads of times, but it really resonated with me the way she said it, where like she used to listen to her head a lot, and now she asks her body and checks in with her body. Over the last year, oh my God, that is something I've had to really lean into, because you know, like even like the past, like the last 6 months, like my body was telling me something that my brain did not understand.
Yeah.
Like literally did not understand. And then that was like causing more anxiety because I was so confused. But I think you just have to like actually just stop and appreciate the fact that your body and your heart know answers that your mind doesn't.
Yeah.
And like you have to listen, because if not, you are just going to probably end up anxious. And that's what I realized around like people that are like heavily disconnected to themselves. I sometimes don't feel in my authentic self, and it's not saying that they need to change, but I need to listen to my body, because my body is telling me something that I don't feel good around this person.
Mm.
Or that I'm not like...
Yeah, when you say disconnected to themselves, like for people listening, like what do you mean?
So I mean people that, and I really, I know I always kind of like caveat this with saying like no spiritual ego, but I do mean that, because I feel like it can come across a bit like, you need to be in touch with your feelings. And it's like, I honestly believe that you don't need to be. I'm just saying like what resonates with me.
Yeah.
So like over the last year, I've really lent into feeling all my emotions, and like the stuff I used to stuff down, I've learned to feel that more and to let things come up. And it has ended up that a lot more things have come up, but it's just like a process. And the more you let it go, or the more you feel it, the more you can let it go. Mm-hmm. 'Cause definitely like my coping mechanisms growing up were definitely just stuff it down, just not deal with it. So now I feel like when I'm around people that are like disconnected from their feelings and like masking their pain and really stuffing it down, something in my body doesn't feel necessarily safe around that person.
Yeah.
Like as in I can just feel it as maybe like an underlying anxiety. And it doesn't mean I'm not friends with people like this. Like I still have lots, like adore people like this. But I've just noticed that something, because like something about that doesn't resonate with me, because I'm leaning into that, and it like it feels old.
Yeah,
like
no, old energy. It makes loads of sense.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's the main thing, is like learning to listen to my body and just like going with the flow of what resonates with you.
And feels right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that obviously there's all that interesting stuff that, you know, like Elaine was talking to us about in her interview in a couple episodes back, about like how the heart actually formed first in the womb. Mm. And I feel like they might have been talking about it at the event as well.
Yeah.
At the weekend. But so in terms of like that came before your brain. So the intelligence from that, but also like it makes a lot of sense that you wouldn't want to surround yourself with people like that, especially if it kind of like makes you feel like,
And I also feel like,
and it's not being egoy, because it's like, it's not you saying, ah, to be my friend, you must be so in touch with your emotions. I want you to be doing this and this and this. Because like you said at the start, like you love people and accept people where they are in their journey, because not everybody through their lifetime is actually meant to get to that.
Soul contract.
Yeah, exactly. That's not part of their journey to get to that point. They're meant to learn other things. Maybe in another lifetime, I want to get really weird about it. Then they're going to, you know, come back to Earth and like do it then. Yeah. You know, so it's like having full acceptance that people are where they are, but at the same time knowing, well, what works for me?
And I've just realized as well, I think what it is as well is like, if someone's in front of me and I can like heavily feel how disconnected they are from their emotions and themselves, then I don't feel like the present, like the less present.
Yeah.
Like, since the, like, say if I was to bring something super vulnerable to them, I don't feel like they could hold it in the way that I'd want to be held.
Yes, yeah, so I guess it's more like people, you just don't want to get heavily intertwined with someone who's like
exactly
that, which is fine. Whereas you could have, because you can have friends that you just kind of loosely see that, but whereas like close people around you, they do need to be on that same vibe with you. I don't think that's an ego way. I think, you know, even if you think about, like, for me, even if I think, who would I want to get in a relationship with, like, because I think like who you choose as your partner is like a very big choice to make, because, you know, you become who you're around and stuff. And I would want somebody as well that was like, could had emotional awareness within themselves, because otherwise, if you ever had a fucking problem, even between the relationship or even the friendship, how the fuck are you going to talk about it? How are you going to work through it? So, like, I get it. I don't think it's, like, ego-y at all.
Yeah, totally.
It's just, like, knowing what's, like, important.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, life's short. So, like, you kind of want to surround yourself with the right people anyway.
Definitely. And this is not based on my last relationship, by the way. I just want to say that. It's actually, there's a very recent discovery.
No, I wasn't thinking that. And I don't think anyone else was.
No, but
that
I just
either.
Want to respect, because I just don't, like, not.
Yeah.
It's based on recent drop-in discoveries, I think.
So the second thing that I have learned in my early 20s, this one's kind of related to the last one that I've said, so I think it like follows on quite nicely actually, but it's that comparison is the thief of joy, and you need to learn to have trust in your own path, have patience, and also trust the future you. Because I think that like so many of us spend way too much time in your 20s literally looking at what everybody else is doing and like comparing yourself. And, oh, this person's earned this salary and I haven't, this person's bought a house and I haven't, this person's in a relationship, I'm still single, you know, whatever it is, this person's like started their own business, I haven't done that. Like, and you can just spend, and you can start matching your self-worth up to these sort of, you know, milestones and comparing yourself, and you can just get yourself into a whole head fuck of like low self-esteem and shite. And it's like, no, you need to, one, comparison's the thief of joy, so like stop doing that, because the more you compare yourself to other people, the less you even see what's in front of you that's great in your life that maybe they would love to have. And also, you know, you're doubting yourself and you're doubting your own path, and you're not trusting your own life, and like the, you know, you, everything's going to unfold like exactly as it's meant to. And you can just cause yourself, you know, when people say like pain is inevitable, but suffering is a choice. I feel like this is one of those situations in that, you know, it's a choice to suffer like that.
Yeah.
Like those thoughts will happen, but you literally choose if you want to like actually entertain them and keep them as a running theme of your life. Because you're not going to get anywhere. It's like the most unproductive way to think.
Yeah.
And it's easier said than done for me to just be like, oh, just stop thinking about it. Sometimes you actually maybe need to go to therapy to process them and stuff like that. But it is important to do, because you actually really waste a lot of your life and your energy and your time, like, you know, thinking stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. I think if you should like compare yourself to anyone, as in like compare yourself in gratitude at like where you're at, do you know what I mean? Because you compare yourself so much thinking, oh my God, I'm not there. But then why not like every morning think, oh my God, I'm so grateful that I have a roof over my head. You know, like things like that. Like
simple, basic.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like
bare necessities, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because
even the fact, and I always sometimes like catch myself out thinking and tell myself this, it's a bit tough lovey, but like the fact that you even have the capacity to think, oh, they're doing that and I'm not, is a fucking privilege.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's some humans on this planet that don't live in a kind of like country where they can listen to a podcast and hear conversations like that. They don't have time to listen to things like that. They don't have resources to even access conversations like this. The fact that you're even having those thoughts sometimes of comparison is a fucking privilege. And it's like, I'm not saying it to like invalidate your feelings and make you think, oh no, you shouldn't think things like that. You're a piece of shit for thinking that. You're not. It's quite normal. But like also just kind of ground yourself with that too.
Yes. Yes, completely. And I feel like as well, 20s, it's just that age, I think. Yeah, I feel like 20s is just the worst for it because you're always like, people are at such different milestones. Like the people I went to school with were like, just some are worlds apart, some are like, it's just absolute... like so many different things, even though when you've not like been in left school like 10 years ago and you know you're all the same there. So I feel like, yeah, your 20s, you have to be extra easy on yourself with the comparison.
Yeah, and I think that the more you're actually leaning into what you want to be doing and like those like passions that you have, the less you actually start to look at what other people are doing, because you get so interested in your own lane and what you're doing. So that actually to avoid comparison even more, it's more important to, because that's what makes you feel fulfilled. Like unfulfillment fuels those comparison feelings as well. And that's why, you know, they can also be a really great teacher, because people you regularly compare yourself to or feel jealous of can actually just show you like what you want and reflect to you your potential that you're just not tapping into. You don't believe that you could do it, or you're not letting yourself do it. So there's like all kind of layers to it, but you really don't want to go through like all of your 20s doing that, you know, and like getting choked up when your friend tells you like some amazing thing that they've done, because you want to be happy for them, but actually you're so unhappy with where you are that you can't feel that happiness for them. And that's really sad. And I think it's a feeling that like a lot of people get.
Yeah.
You know, like hearing that your friends got engaged, or feeling like hearing that your friends got promoted and you actually feel really lost in your career, like anything like that, you know. And
yeah, exactly. And it's not like it's coming from a bitter place ever. It's just that maybe you're not even allowing yourself to do that.
Yeah.
But I think as well with comparison, like just a quick tip for you all, because I even actually do this, like when I find myself comparing to people, again, just going back to gratitude, just list things that you're actually grateful that you have to flip it around. I think it's like such a quick energy shift, because you know, like I'm sure I was listening to a podcast once about like envy and stuff, and like the emotion actually, like everyone gets envious and jealous, like literally everyone, like it's absolutely impossible to stop being jealous, whatever, but it's like how long you stay in that emotion, and you can tap yourself out. And I think you can tap yourself out quicker if you think, oh my god, well look at this person that's done this and I've not done it, and then just come back and think, well no, I've achieved this, and if you do want to do what they're doing, then just think, why are you not doing it yet? Like, are you holding yourself back, or like what are the things you could be doing? But then I think just like flipping it with that gratitude, that really helps me. Because I'm like, actually, no, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. So I think comparing yourself can completely minimize what you've done.
Yeah.
When actually you've done like absolutely loads.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to share like a personal example from myself and like how I've really learned to do this whole point that I've just been making, and about like learning to trust your own life and the timing of your life and everything like that, is when I was like all through school, like I never had a boyfriend, then going into college, all of that, I didn't, went straight into work, like never did. And so even into my like early 20s, I was always like, for a long time, I spent a lot of time associating the fact that I hadn't been in a relationship with anyone with my self-worth, as if it's like you're on the shelf and you've not been chosen kind of thing, which is, you know, mindset that a lot of women have, because you're kind of made to feel like that.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like, I grew up more, I matured more, and I did a lot of, like, self-love work, therapy and reflection, and just thought, well, no, it's not related to that. Like, why have I not put myself in that situation to have a relationship? Because at the end of the day, anyone can go out there and find a relationship. You can go out there tomorrow and find one on an app or whatever if you want to. Like, you can throw yourself into a relationship with anyone. But why was I avoiding that? Why did I never have that? It wasn't actually being left on the shelf. It was, like, my... you know, ego used to say to me, and it's actually, which I'm not going to go into, because then I'll be like opening the whole kind of words, but like, you know, it was actually related to things of like, oh, because I watched my parents get divorced, and things related to that, like you avoid relationships because of that. So all this kind of stuff, which you don't really kind of, if you don't dive into it, you don't always understand that. And you can just start to think, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough or whatever. And you can then compare yourself to like all your other friends and all, what everybody else is doing. So for me doing that, it's not the most confidence boosting way to think, and it's not actually the truth. And also you're not trusting your life when you do that. Whereas I'm 26 now and I've still never been in a relationship with someone. I know that there's a lot of people probably listening that are in the exact same situation, but no one fucking talks about this shit. You sometimes see it on TikTok, people posting TikToks about it and stuff, and then all the comments are like, oh, I'm 30 and I'm the same. I'm 35 and I'm the same. I'm da-da and I'm the same. Thanks for saying this. Like, because no one goes around saying it, but actually there's a lot of people in the world in the exact same situation. But I mean, that's just one example. You can relate it to anything in your life. But when you do that, you're just doing a bit of a disservice to yourself, because you're spending a lot of time associating the reason with something that's not the truth. And actually, you know, maybe you're, again, go back to the souls. Maybe your soul asked to learn lessons first about why you could, what you had to go through some sort of healing before you could get to that thing that you want, whether that's a relationship or whatever it is, or letting yourself follow your passions or anything. And you need to just trust the time of your life and be confident in that. And like, that's a huge, that mine's specifically been about relationships, but that's a huge thing that I'd had to learn from in my early 20s. Like, I've got completely different energy and mindset on it now. But, you know, 3-4 years ago, like, would have had a, maybe 2 years ago, would have had like completely different mindset on it. And I would always think like, oh, but what if someone asked, like, say you go on a date and people are always like, what's your past relationships, whatever. It's not saying I've never dated anyone, obviously I have, but like, why has it not gone into anything more serious? People always ask that question. Or like, they want to know or whatever, like the same way people want to know like how many relationships you've had or why they ended and stuff like that, because they're trying to like build up a picture more about you. And I always think like, oh, does it sound weird that you say no? Whereas I'm like, no, it's whatever energy you want to have around your life. Do you know what I mean? You're 100%. The decider of like how your life is and whether you're going to feel empowered about that choice or not. Like, it's up to you at the end of the day, and the energy you hold on it is how other people will respond. So, you know, like, if you go around your whole life, especially in your 20s, just having a disempowered energy about why you haven't done something yet, whether that is a relationship or whether that is a career thing, you're feeling lost, whether you're still living at home and you think you shouldn't, all this kind of shit. If you don't have empowerment behind it, then other people, you feel insecure, then other people just pick up on that. And yeah, and just so feel true. That to have that to you, whereas you say, oh no, I'm still living at home because I've got a fucking clue what I want to do. I don't know where I want to live or anything like that. And I'm figuring my shit out, and that's fine. Like, I, on the talk actually on Sunday, like the first talk, the woman Lisa Donovan who created that app, she said she was 30, she was back in her childhood home. Was she? She was divorced, or have I made that up? No, I don't think she said she was divorcing. I made that up. She was back in her childhood home. She was 30. She was single, and she kept getting these downloads to basically create this astrology app. And then she went into a years of making that, and Estelle was calling it like saying it was her dark night of the soul as well. Yeah. And she was literally talking about how we go through these phases of our lives where maybe we go back to our childhood home when we think we shouldn't be there to recreate something or whatever, and kind of like to come back together and change the kind of trajectory of where you're going, because you've got to come back and sort of cocoon and like build and then you go out. And you can start to feel really shit about yourself because you think, I shouldn't be here. Again, comparison is thief of joy. I shouldn't be here. My friends are doing this. My friend has her own house. All this kind of shit, whatever you want to think. And then again, you're not trusting your own life. Like,
yeah.
And it's a very, very hard lesson to learn and to come to terms with, but it's really important too.
It is. No, it's beautiful. And I love how you explain that because, yeah, I think there's so many people that suffer with that in any way, comparing. But yeah, definitely. People so pick up on the energy.
However you decide respond to something, whatever your energy is behind why something about your life is how people meet you there. Like,
100%. Okay, so my second lesson in my early 20s is that people are going to let you down and you're going to also really let people down, and that's okay. And I think the more you actually allow yourself to let people down, the more you'll give others grace. Because if you're always like super hard on yourself, people pleasing, never want to let anyone down, then you actually don't allow other people to do that. And you judge them and you put more shame on that. But I think you almost have to let people down, like, all the time. Like, if you're actually standing in your truth, then you're going to let people down. You're going to break people's hearts. Like, you're not going to act in the way that other people want you to act, because like, everyone's such different people.
Yeah.
And I think if you're like, if you've let someone down or you've done something that's hurt someone, like, it doesn't make you a bad person. Like, I feel like there's always that connotation of like, oh, I did something really bad, so I'm a bad person. Like, I always think back to, like, I don't know why it just always comes to me, because I remember this conversation with him. So, like, my ex cheated on me, like it was ages ago now, like 4 years ago or something. Like, I remember talking to him afterwards, and he was obviously trying to crawl back in, and I was like, no, no, no. And he was like, I feel like such a bad person. Like, I'm such a bad person for cheating on you. And I was like, not one bit of me thinks you're a bad person. Like, I do not think you are a bad person. Like, you just did one bad thing. Mm. And it's like, we put so much shame on ourselves. Like, oh shit, I really fucked up. Like, I'm a bad person for this. And it's like, no, you're not a bad person. You just messed up. People mess up all the time. Yeah. You're going to hurt people. And we might as well call this episode Soul Contracts. But, like, sometimes, sometimes you're meant to do that. Sometimes you're meant to break someone's heart.
Yeah, because some of the people... and. This is another one of my points that we'll obviously talk about later. But, like, as in, you know, sometimes you actually have to cross paths with people that cause you major pain in your life, because they're catalysts for your growth, and, like, you're meant to cross paths and things aren't meant to work. So actually sometimes you fucking up, you hurting someone, you doing something wrong, you know, it could actually really help someone. Not saying, just go around and just fucking cause carnage for people. But, you know, you also don't know, like, how they might turn that into...
It's so
true.
As
you say, pain into power.
Yeah, pain into power. Because in that moment, I say, if you're letting someone down or you feel like you're hurting someone in the short term, like, they're always going to learn something. And I do believe that maybe your souls were meant to cross paths for a reason. And in the long term, they're always going to thank you. Like, my ex for cheating on me at the time, I was, like, obviously heartbroken, felt gross. But oh my God, thank you. Jesus, I don't want to waste any more time with
him. Savage.
No, do you know what I mean? Listening.
No, definitely.
You definitely won't be listening. But yeah, I would say that to him. Like, we're friends now, because I literally have no anger towards him whatsoever. Like, nothing. I do not think he's a bad person. There isn't a bad bone in his body. He just did one thing, completely self-sabotage himself and the relationship. And then I think when people do that, like, you can respect that and you can leave them there. Like, they're not going to be in your life. I'm not saying, like, oh, people fuck up and just love them, like, anyway. Like, as in, you just leave them there.
With no boundaries.
No, yeah, you leave them there. But I don't think people... Like, I don't think he's a bad person. And... he had to let me down at the moment. And the more I give him grace, the more I'll give myself grace when I need to let someone down and when I need to stand in my truth and just follow my path. Because that's going to happen all the time in life. And we can't, like, wrap ourselves in cotton wool and think, I don't want to be let down, I don't want to be upset. Because then that just translates, like, oh, I don't want to be in love because I don't want to fall out of love. Like, you're going to probably fall out of love. You're going to be heartbroken. Like, it's just the gamble you have to take. So, yeah. That's my second lesson.
Love that. Well, this actually leads on really nicely from what you said, which is my third lesson, which is your greatest lessons often come in the form of the most painful experiences, and you're actually being blessed.
That's so true.
You cannot see the blessings at the time. And if you're in one of your most painful experiences, you're probably thinking, Grace, I'm going to fucking climb through my phone right now and punch you. Like, as if you just said that. Because I know that when I've been in, like, my most painful moments, that's literally how I would have responded to someone saying that to me. But you only get that kind of, like, reflection on it after, when it's done and you've like, grown from it. Mm. But it is true. Like, how many transformational... life-changing moments do you have that completely set you on a new path, or like a huge catalyst for your growth, that are actually just really positive and easy? A lot of them, there is obviously those as well, but a lot of it is really hard shit.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like knowing that through your life that will happen and that's normal. And I always like to think you don't get put through things that you can't handle and you can't go through. If we want to bring it back to Soul Contracts again, you could have asked for that learning, that lesson. Like, I remember when Elaine and I said that to her in an interview, when she said to me in, like, my tarot session with her, and I was like, why have I got a relationship dynamic like this with this person, blah blah, and they were like, I was like, I just don't get it. Like, what the hell? I've done so much therapy of other stuff for it. Like, what the fuck? I'm done. Like, what? How much more? Like, I don't get it. Mm. And she was like, Grace, when your soul wanted to come to this planet, it got together in a little soul community with this other person that you're talking about, and you ask them to do this. And like, you know, that might sound a bit weird to some people, whatever, and some people it might make sense, it might resonate, you know, like, but there's that element to it as well. But at the end of the day, nothing in life is all roses, and actually you really do grow and change from like the negative times, the painful times, and also just like the times when you feel like unfulfilled or like bored, stuff like that as well. Like you're not living up to your potential. Like, that's not a bad thing to feel. It means that you're gonna step into the next thing. So, you know, some of the most gross, traumatizing, disgusting periods of your life can actually be your biggest blessings. So, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow, but one that you swallow in your 20s.
So true. Okay, so my next one I wrote down is about like relationships again. So we're just gonna like reel it in a little bit. Obviously, I've just like very recently, like I've got a lot of lessons on relationships.
Relationships are a huge part of life. Yeah, huge. I know. Huge. So,
but it's quite similar to the last one. So, my next one is you choose your family. And that's absolutely nothing against my family. Like, I love my family and accept them where they're at. But I think in life, you choose your family. As in, like, you choose, like, your spiritual family. Like, you choose your friends, a family. Like, I was listening to Karina Tala, who we met the other day at the event.
Yeah, that was so
who
cute.
We've had on the podcast. Go and listen to it. She's like an Ayurvedic healing coach, and she's absolutely amazing. And it's all, you know, like when you meet her, like, I mean, I think we're like that too, as in like, she's just exactly how you would imagine her.
Yeah, she's like a little full glowing of life. Angel.
Yeah, like literally glowing from the inside out. Anyway, I was listening to a live she did the other day, and like it just really rung for me, because using her as an example, like an extreme example, as in like she cut off all of her family to heal. Yeah, yeah. She doesn't have aunties, she doesn't have uncles, she doesn't have brothers, sisters, mum, dad, anything. And she came to London and she chose her family. And I'm not saying I've done that to an extreme, like I have my family, but like I really feel like I've chose my spiritual family, who I can like really heal with and just kind of like love in a different way than my own family. And it's not in a better way or anything, it's just in a different way. And I think in life you have to choose your family, like with your friends and everything. Like, you are my family, you're my spiritual family 100%. Do you know what I mean? Because I resonate with you on a different level than maybe I would with my family.
But also apparently we choose our family. You know when people say
we choose our family.
But then Earth you gets to choose new people
too. But that's what I mean, is in like my family, I accept them where they are and they're my family, but I also choose my family. I choose my spiritual family. I don't really know like another word. I mainly resonate with you know, my spiritual, like that quote, growth family in a way.
There's that quote as well when people say like friends of the family, you get to choose.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah.
Like I've built connections this past year, like say with Willie, my friend, like he is like a complete brother to me. I don't even have a brother. And like the way I lean into love with him is so much like a brother. And it's the most, one of the most beautiful relationships I've ever had, really. Like one of them. And it's like, he is my family. I chose him. But anybody can do that. Like if you're listening now and like you want something different, you want different connection than you do in like your biological family. Like you choose that through your friends and who you surround yourself with every single day. Like they are your family too.
Yeah, definitely. So my fourth thing, which leads on nicely from what you said, is that drifting from your friends is normal and okay in your 20s, because I just want to drift from you. I don't like you. I'm joking. Like, you know, like if you have a friend group that maybe you went through all of school with, you go into your 20s, you start to become more of the individuals that you are, and you start to just drift because you're on different life paths, you choose different things. You're not the same. Like maybe you have a group of friends that just love to party and take things that you don't like to do. So obviously your social settings that you enjoy are going to be completely different. So you're not going to socialize as much and you're going to drift and like, whatever. Or maybe you decide that you want to live abroad and you move over there, or, you know, maybe, and your friends don't leave their hometown, or you just, I don't know, you move to another place in the UK or anything like that. Like there's so many factors of why, and it's just so normal. So normal. You don't need to feel bad about it. You don't need to feel guilty. You don't need to feel confused. It's normal. It's normal. It's meant to happen. You're just going to drift. Like You know, like, you might become friends again later or you might not, but it doesn't matter, like, because it's normal, like, and it's fine. I feel like so many people, like, get really caught up about it.
Yeah, and then they hold on when they shouldn't, and it's like, yeah, just
let it go. Yeah. Let it go. Like, you know, I lived in London for, like, 4 years, and then when I moved home back to the north of England, which is far away from London, I then have friends that I was friends with there that I never speak to now. Like, and we spoke to each other every day when I was there.
Mm.
And it's not that it was a fake friendship. We were just made to be friends when we were there. And now we're here and we're in different lives. We haven't got as much, whatever, maybe common ground. We're just not, we have no reason to talk all the time. I think I heard like Ali Abdaal say this once. I thought, oh, that's quite savage. But then when I went through it, I thought, oh, I get it actually. Like he said that when he's like moved and stuff, you just get to a point where you actually just have to give up on a friendship, like you have to kind of abandon it, because how many more texts are you going to send, like, oh yeah, we should meet up, or oh yeah, let's catch like up, and you never get to see, like, let's just stop saying this, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm like that with everyone, and I hope none of my friends are listening, that are my, you know, friends, and thinking, fuck, it's crazy thing that about me. No, I'm just talking like generally as well, but you know, I think that's a huge thing in your 20s, and people find it really hard, and you know, you just make new friends, like you said, you find your soul tribe.
Yeah.
And you know, how are you gonna have room for them if you're still clinging on to like people that you don't really have much in common with anymore? Yeah, you know,
definitely. And as you're shedding those layers, you're just gonna meet new people.
Yeah,
resonate with new people, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, my fourth one is, you're not responsible for who you attract, but you're responsible for who you entertain.
Interesting. Yeah,
it's what I've really been thinking about lately, because I think especially when you do kind of work on yourself and you understand like maybe your childhood trauma, like things you went through, and then you kind of pin together, okay, that's why I've been with this person, relationship or friendship or anything. Oh, that's why I had a boss like this, because maybe I attracted it. And I honestly feel, and something I really do not stand for, is how much shame you can actually put on yourself for, like, oh, I attracted this situation. Oh
yeah, because I've never heard it like that, like, you're not responsible for what you attract, but you are for what you entertain.
Yeah,
because I've even had situations before where I've been like, fuck me, like, how did I attract that into my life?
Well, what fucking
shun process trauma have I got that drew that shit in? But then, yeah, and then maybe you entertain it, but maybe it's only for a very short amount of time, whatever, and you but it's still like at,
yeah, but I think as well, like, that's fine to reflect, because that's the only way we grow, and like, obviously you do need to do that, but I do really feel like you can go a bit too far with it, and then also put so much shame on yourself, like, oh my god, I'm attracting all these situations. But like, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, you are the one that's entertaining them, so you hold the power. If you always attract narcissists and you always find yourself in that relationship, it's time to actually just reflect and think, why are you entertaining that?
Yeah.
There's a part of you that wants that. There's a part of you that kind of needs that. Like, you want it, otherwise you literally wouldn't entertain it. But I think that's how you begin to heal, is like being self-aware, thinking, okay, maybe I am kind of attracting these people, but like standing your self-worth and think, I don't want to be with someone like this. I don't want a boss like this. I don't want a friendship like this. And that's where you can walk away and you're going to attract better things. And that is the healing. But I think like that, because I saw it as a quote and I was like, that really like resonates with me. It's like, you're not responsible for who you attract. You're responsible for who you entertain, because who you entertain sets the tone for who you attract and who you're going to look back on your life and think, why did I always attract those people? Well, no, you actually just entertain them, and you hold the power every single day, so you can say, I don't want that kind of energy in my life, I don't want to be around that. And then you're going to attract better energy, and you're going to know what you want to entertain.
Yeah. And I think that like sometimes you can, like, say you're like an empath or whatever, which narcissists are really attracted to, you can end up going through your whole life every now and then attracting a narcissist. But if you know what one is and know the red flags, then you can walk away.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're never going to attract one again. But yeah, it's like, I think it was Estelle actually said it, do you remember in the interview we did with her on the podcast like a year and a half ago, when she was like, two ships in the night. Like,
yeah, I always remember that.
Yeah, it's so funny. But like, yeah, like you maybe you get into a relationship with someone like really like toxic or whatever, and then you actually learn, fuck, that's a red flag, this is a red flag, and you kind of know what to look out for in other people. And then in the future when you go into dating, you might actually come across someone again like that, but that's when it's that two ships in the night thing. So you're like, I see you for what you are, like I can see the warning signs, I'm just not gonna entertain this.
Yeah.
I've attracted you in, but I don't want this. So two ships in the night, you just sail past each other and you're done.
Because that is the healing, isn't it? Because if you don't want to accept that lesson and you want to go through it again, then that's your own decision. And you're just going to keep learning the same lesson that you've already learned, because you're just keeping yourself trapped in the pain and in like this belief system. But if you decide to kind of just heal that, which literally doesn't require years of therapy, it comes with just a decision to choose yourself.
Yeah.
Then
choose again, and that completely changes your vibe and your frequency, like what you're going to attract next. But I think that as well, when you're like doing that, you have to maintain like standards as well, and like self-worth, and not kind of move from those, because you could keep attracting like someone shy or whatever and then think, oh, everyone's just shit or whatever. I don't know, like all you know, like some people, I feel like I was bringing it back to dating, but a lot of women have like a sisterhood wound, and they find it really hard to be vulnerable and open with women.
Yeah.
I like have the complete opposite problem. I'm like, whoa! Hey, bestie, let's go. But like, I know that that's a problem that like a lot of women have. They never get to have that really nice, amazing, caring sister relationship like the what we've got, where you know you're just sharing a bit too much on a daily basis, you know, stuff like that. But but like I think that, you know, when you keep attracting in, maybe like you keep attracting, you really want to attract that friendship, you know, you want to manifest that kind of maybe friendship that we've got, that kind of dynamic, and you keep attracting in women that you find, you hear that they're bitching about you or they're gossiping and there's reasons you can't trust them and stuff, like don't entertain it, walk away. And if they keep coming back, like I think it's so important to just stay positive that is out there, like you know, look for the positive evidence in like maybe other girls' friendship where they have that nice thing that you'd want, that close friend that you'd want, because I mean that kind of shit changes your life, like you were saying, you choose your family, like if you have these solid friendships, like you're healthier, like you're more resilient, all this kind of stuff, so it can bring so much greatness to your life. So it's worth kind of like, not, do you know what I mean, like keep, if you keep attracting it, just keep batting it away, and eventually it will come through, like you'll get it.
Manifest it, you know.
Yeah, well that's that thing they always call like tests from the universe, but I don't know, it's a bit weird to like, I think there are tests from the universe.
Yeah, I get a bit weird out by
but those. Also it's also like, well why is the universe trying to test you and put you in pain? I don't know,
I thought the universe was just love.
Yeah. There was all love and good vibes. Okay, my fifth thing, and this is my final one for part one of this episode, is that you don't need to change or alter yourself to be loved. And I think this is an ongoing lesson, an ongoing thing you have to remind yourself of, and a kind of like a universal experience that we all have. Because we all have insecurities and things that we feel like we want to hide, and we feel scared to show somebody or show the world. And if you, like, especially when you're growing up, and especially coming into your 20s, embracing your authentic self is like a whole thing, and it can be, you know, hard to come round to really believing that it's okay to be you, and that you don't need to shapeshift for everybody and be different, especially to win love from anyone or anything. You know,
I think that's so beautiful. It made me a bit emotional when you said it.
Oh, do you want a tissue?
No, it's literally so true. I think it is like a universal wound of thinking you need to change to be loved. And it's like, the more you actually just step into your authenticity and just really accept yourself for who you are, like we said at the start, it's a complete vibration and people will meet you there. Like, you come with that energy. If you accept who you are, you're always going to be... If you accept who you are, you're going to be accepted for who you are.
Yeah, because honestly, people, they do like... they respond to you in the way that you respond to yourself. Like, so for me, like just an example to bring it back to what I was talking about when in the comparison is a thief of joy thing. Like in dating situations in the past, I've been on dates and people have said to me, it's such a fucking annoying thing that people say as well. I feel like it's kind of, I don't know. I feel like men actually say this quite a lot to people, but like you've never had a boyfriend. Like you, like what? Like, and I'm like, yes, can you fucking believe it? Like, get over yourself. But like, or they'll be like, what, like, you're so beautiful, what? I'll just say something, I don't know. And then I'm like, it's because I'm a raging maniac and I'm actually a psycho. No, like, what do you want me to tell you is the reason? Like, why does it have to be associated that it's a... because of something wrong? Yeah, why can't like it just be that I don't like anyone that I've dated enough to make my fucking boyfriend yet, or something like that? Why can't it be a choice like that? But my energy in the past, say someone asked me that when I was 22, I would have been like, no, like, my energy would have been like that. So then they're like, feel that insecurity and they pick up on it,
yeah,
and then they think weird or whatever. Whereas if you're like, yeah, like, no, I haven't, why? Because I haven't met anybody that I actually wanted to get into a relationship with, and I really value my time, and I don't actually want to be in a relationship with someone who I don't like that much, and actually I decided to spend a lot of time on my career or a lot of time in therapy or whatever, whatever your answer is, you know, like, just fucking own that and like be empowered about that. And they will think, oh, cool. And gone from this person feels insecure or weird about that thing in their life versus this person is confident and feels empowered about it. Like, it's a completely different energy, and people literally form an opinion and response to you from how you feel about yourself. And it's a bit weird. I always find stuff like this a bit weird as well. Like, because I do think that sometimes when you have insecurity as well, some like not nice, like kind of weird, dark people prey on that. Yeah. They'll absorb your insecurities at the start and they'll bring it back up later down the line and use things against you, gaslight you, things like that.
Mm.
So it like, it makes you a bit, I'm not saying like, oh, you're not allowed to be insecure about anything, but kind of as well makes you be a bit vulnerable, I think, to people that are toxic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't even remember why I brought this up.
You just gotta own it, haven't you?
But basically, yeah, you just gotta love yourself so fiercely. And yeah.
Love it. Okay, so this is my last one, my fifth one. We're gonna do this episode in two parts, obviously, because it's super long. We've got so much to talk about. So I'm leaving the last one as probably my most emotional one. Because this one just like, I don't know, other people might not find it emotional, but like when I read it, I was like, oh, it felt like a stab in the stomach of truth. So leaving a life you love for a life you'll love even more is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. I know. Let's all cry. Literally, the last 6 months, that has never been more true for me.
Yeah.
I literally feel emotional.
Oh, don't cry. No, it's so true. And I think that a lot of people will really resonate with that. Even people that think, oh, I want to go traveling, I want to go and live abroad, but I love my family. I love all my friends that are here, but you feel like there's something else out there for you.
Yeah, so, and it's like that tipping point of whether you will go for it or whether you will stay in that familiarity because it's more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to be so, so, so brave to actually take that step.
Yeah.
Because it really is like, honestly, like, I'm pretty privileged to say that's the hardest thing I've ever been through. Mm. It's like my breakup this last, like, 6 months is the hardest thing I've ever had to go through because... Yeah. I'm not getting emotional for views here. Let's all cry. No, honestly, I really went to like some dark place.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
It's like therapy.
Yeah.
But guys, it's okay to feel your emotions.
Yeah, it is.
It's and allowed. Crying is my new personality trait. It so is. It doesn't surprise me that I'm now crying on the podcast. No, that moment when you have to stand in your truth and, like I said at the start, let people down and kind of gamble that something in my heart is telling me that this isn't right and that I'm going to be happier or more aligned doing something else, moving to another country, being in a different relationship, having a different job. Like that tipping point, like you have to be so brave and trust yourself, and it could be heartbreaking, but it's so worth it. Like you have to be so brave and like just don't get to the end of your life and just think, God, I wish I actually was brave enough to step forward, because I know a lot of people, and I've done myself, that where I can see that they're just holding themselves back because they're scared. Because they're like, well, this is safe. This is familiar. This is okay. But like, it's not actually what you want.
Mm.
It doesn't like light you up. It doesn't make you jump out of bed. And like, you deserve to feel like that. You deserve to feel peace and happiness. And you deserve to feel like you can jump out of bed. But you've got to go through, you've got to go through some shit sometimes to get there. And you've got to gamble on yourself.
Yeah.
And let people down.
That was beautiful. I feel like people are crying. They are. Everyone's crying. Everyone just takes it. It's
emotional. I knew I'd get emotional saying that as well, because I wrote it down the other day and I was like,
yeah.
God, that just really...
Well, no, it's huge.
Yeah, it is.
And it does, it requires a serious level of courage. Got the courage crystal up. Would you like to hold the courage crystal? Yeah. Abby's holding it. It requires a serious level of courage to do that. And to be honest, 99% of people will not fucking do it. Mm. And so you, even though it was really horrible, and you said it was the most difficult thing you've ever done, you should be proud of yourself, because, you know, like, nobody else could have told you that that was the right thing to do. Like, because no one else was in it. No one else is in the situation. No one else would know. Like, no one, people don't understand. So it's, and it's not saying, oh, no one gets it. Like, no one can help you. But at the end of the day, you have to just listen to what's going on inside. And do you know what? Like, so many people would walk away from something, like I said, they love, for something they might love more in the future, whatever, and have not have that thing they love more, whether that's that new job, whatever, they keep failing at the business, or either that's that new relationship or anything, or they actually move countries and they fucking hate it because it takes them a year to settle in, or anything. They think, what the fuck have I done? I fucked this up. Like, or whatever, like, you know, sometimes that next best thing takes a long time to come into your life. So actually, as well, being able to have the nerve to be like, I'm just gonna wait. I'm just gonna keep trusting that I still made the right choice, rather than thinking, oh, did I not? Oh, should I go back? Should I do it? And reverse it and not making any kind of move forward is what most people don't do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to be proud of yourself for that as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's so true, because I think it's like what you showed in your story last night. Like, oh, as in, you have to leave that big gap. You do, because you can't. Like, I think I once recorded a TikTok even about that, that, like, to step into the new version of you that has a different life, you have to step before the new version of you has come.
Yes.
Like, you have to let go of the old version before the new version has come. And in that gap, there is just, like, the abyss.
Yeah,
which can be really scary.
It can be related to, like, we've just said as an example, like, walking away from relationships or jobs or places that you live, you know, huge things like that. But it also can be walking away from your own, your old patterns that don't serve you anymore, of like old fears, trauma that you've now been able to heal, or relationship dynamics that you've now been able to come to peace with and learn new ways to navigate, how to have boundaries, all this kind of stuff. It means you have to let go of the person that used to be able to be in those. And that as well is like a big thing, you know?
Yeah.
God.
That's so emotional, wasn't it?
We'll leave it there for part one. Come back next week for part two. When we planned this episode, I said, I feel like we might have to do this in two parts. And you were like, nah, I reckon it'll be all right. You know, 20 things. No. There's your...
What minute are we on? Like 1 minute?
1 minute 10.
Oh, yeah. There was no chance, was there?
No. So, come back next week for part two.
Yeah, we will see you there, guys, for more emotion. Bye.
Bring the tissues.